Today on Real Life Radio.
People will follow anything instead of read the Bible and be knowledgeable. We'll spend so much time, and I'm not knocking this exactly, we will spend hours reading our computer programs and we'll spend 1 minute in the Bible and then wonder why we're led astray with every wind of doctrine that comes around.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. What kind of church we are depends on what kind of a Christian we are. That's a sobering thought when you think about it. You see, as we learned in chapter 1, the book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw how Jesus has many attributes, including the head of the church coming again for his people. And now in chapter 2, we find out that every church is in need of hearing and what every Christian is in need of knowing, that Jesus is exactly what the Word of God has revealed him to be. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when God examines our Christianity, will he find us diligently applying the Bible to our everyday lives? Will he find us not stuck in religion, but knowing and trusting him with our eternity, never looking to another? And now in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
What kind of a church are we when God examines our confession of faith? All these things that are true about us, as we are the church of Thyatira, if we were there back then 2,000 years ago, all these things are true, and Jesus commends us, then as he begins to examine our confession, what does he find? And I got to tell you, this petrifies me. Verse 20 teaches us that we must be diligent to teach the Word of God, line by line, precept upon precept, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here's the reason why. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you're such a great worker? You ever been called into the boss's office? I just want to tell you, you're a great worker. Have a seat. Look, whenever your boss tells you to have a seat, I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, you know? You get a little tense. Because if it's such great news, it ain't going to take long. Hey, come on in. How are you? Why don't you have a seat? You know what? Your love for this company is fantastic. It's quite an inspiration to many people around here. Just thought I'd let you know that. Your service. In fact, you know how a couple weeks ago you got the company service award? Fantastic. That's really great. Wish more employees were like you. And your faith, you know, and in this corporation and what we make and what we stand behind, it's fantastic. And your patience. I know things are not always going well for you, but you hung in there with joy even. And you've been excited about how things might turn around. Nevertheless, and there you know, oh man, does any of that stuff he just said matter? Not a word. I guess Lisa tells me I'm a pessimist. I want the bad news up front. You know, don't butter me up like a turkey. Just cook me up front. Just let me have it. I want to hear the bad news first. Man, sit me down. Here Jesus commends them to give them hope, not to give them some false picture. Jesus gives them hope. And he says, oh, by the way, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. And with this, my friend, we need to be diligent to teach and to know the Word of God. He says two things. He says, you've allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants and to have them make sacrificial or sexual idol worship offerings. This is a tremendous thing. People, you need to mark down the word Jezebel here, circle it and study it later in the day and find out how absolutely, amazingly appropriate the doctrine of Jezebel has crept into the modern day. I say the modern day for the last 2,000 years, the doctrine of Jezebel and how it has crept into the church. or the confessing or professing church. Before we look at this a little more closely, I want you to remember the war plan of Satan thus far. Against the church at Ephesus, Satan used the fact that that church was so busy that what did they lose? Their love. Satan's war plan with the church of Smyrna was to persecute them to the point that they would be tempted to say that Caesar is Lord, remember? Pergamos to embrace heresy so that they would compromise, remember? Satan's war plan against the church at Thyatira is so true in our modern age. Build a church. Fill up the parking lot, put a cross on the building, have Bibles and hymnals, do all that stuff. That's fantastic, Satan would say. Fantastic. Just begin to bring in some good old ancient traditions and doctrines that have no business in the church. But they're so old and so rooted and so grounded among religious people that they'll just begin to say, it's okay. You believe this, you come on it. You believe that, you come on it. We'll just be, listen, one happy family. If you have not been to Europe lately, it is quite alarming. Everything is one bank, one euro, one union, one thought, one religion, one direction, one people. Everything. It's a oneness at the sacrifice of other things that are true. I had someone tell me just the other day, you know, we are bringing together, coming together our nations of Europe to the USE or the EU, United States of Europe or the European Union. And this man said, we've just agreed as the union, we've just agreed to leave God completely out of all of our lawmaking and all of our agreements among these countries so that there's none of the problems and things that lead and come forth from the belief in God. Compromise at the expense of including people. Romans chapter 2, verse 22 says, do not commit adultery. Have you not, for those who say do not commit adultery, have you committed adultery? And I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. Listen to this. Have you committed adultery in your heart? He says, you who preach against idol worship, do you not withhold things within your heart that belong to God? And you who judge other people as to how they should live their lives morally, aren't you dishonoring God by breaking the smallest of laws in your own heart? What an interesting thing. Satan is the one who, as Jesus said, you know, will swallow, you know, a camel but strain at a gnat. Hypocrisy does that. This is a dangerous thing. And this doctrine of Jezebel, look what it says here in the scripture. It says in verse 20, nevertheless, I have these things against you because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself an oracle, a prophetess, one who speaks. Listen, the doctrine was this. The pagan world around them adopted the doctrines of when a prophet would speak, they would take that as what we would say gospel truth. In Jeremiah chapter 7, I'll read it to you. Mark it down if you'd like, or turn there if you would. Jeremiah 7, 15 through 18. Regarding Jezebel and the doctrine of Jezebel being something that infiltrates the church. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes for an offering to the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods. that they may provoke me, the Lord, to anger. As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, as we will not listen to you, but you will certainly do whatever has gone out of your own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. God indicts a people who have forsaken him, and they have bowed to what Jeremiah calls, and you got to remember, he's calling this worship that's of the doctrine of Jezebel, the worship of the Queen of Heaven. If you've ever done any study regarding the Queen of Heaven, this is what that doctrine is. Again, it goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. That whoever the Queen of Heaven is, she's given birth to all things. That she has given birth to God himself, and that she sits and rules and reigns over the earth and all that there is. Listen, and for over 3,000 years, this doctrine has taught that you as a human cannot relate to God in heaven unless you go through the Queen of Heaven. This precedes the book of Acts. This precedes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This precedes, you name it. This is ancient and rooted in ancient Babylonianism that goes back to the times of the pharaohs. And the church at Thyatira embraced it and said that when this icon or image or statue speaks, dedicated to the Queen of Heaven, the doctrine of Jezebel, we obey. And it becomes, listen, when that oracle speaks on behalf of God, it is doctrine. Did not the Bible say that in these last days, God who once spoke through the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his, who? Son. You see how this strikes home, strikes true to how many of us were brought up? Now, I want to say this. The Protestant church is guilty of rarely, if ever, addressing the honor that's due to Mary, the wife of Joseph, the mother of Jesus. Mary was a godly woman. Mary loved the Lord. And when you read what the Bible says about Mary, she gave glory and honor to God. And the Lord chose her. Not for her holiness, says the Bible, for she herself says, I rejoice in the Lord my Savior, in the God of my salvation. We as Protestants should give more honor to Mary in that way. The reason why I think so many Protestant churches swing away from Mary and her wonderful godly example, and for that matter, Elizabeth, her cousin, in birthing John the Baptist, is because there are those who have deified Mary. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says Mary's last recorded words ever was, whatever my son says to do, do it. In Romanism, there is the worship of what is literally called the Queen of Heaven. And your Old Testament condemns the worship of the Queen of Heaven. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. Mary is a wonderful, precious sister of ours in Christ who we will see in heaven and join with her in the worship of God. She is not the co-redeemer as is taught in Mary worship. These are tremendous things that are directly linked to the doctrine of the Queen of Heaven. And if Mary could part a cloud today and speak to us, I think she would set it straight. Don't you think so? And yet, as we see the days getting closer to the end times, we've got people following strange, aberrant, bizarre, so-called manifestations. We've got people bowing down and dedicating their lives to trees that are supposedly weeping, pots and trinkets and food items all around the world by the tens of thousands. Aberrations. And the word that is spoken is contrary to the Bible. What will you follow? You see how close this comes now to us? The Bible is written, it says what it says, it is as plain as day if you'll just study it. But who wants to do that? Just give me, show me a sign, show me a miracle, show me something that I can follow. And if something appears outside there on one of these palm trees, and it kind of looks like we ought to set up a shrine. We laugh, but people do it by the tens of thousands, especially in countries where actually spiritual ignorance prevails. And it breaks my heart, makes me sick. Why can you go to places into the jungles of New Guinea today still? And there's people who've never heard the name of Jesus. How could it be in Germany this week that when we spoke and told people that Jesus, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that a German would grab the Bible from our hands and say, what is this you're reading? I've never heard that. What in the world is going on? But they'll believe in aliens. And I fought on the streets this week with people who will defend Darwin to the death. And we have, thank God, scientists in America who are not even Christians who are saying Darwin's bankrupt. He's broke. There is no scientific backbone to Darwinism at all. Evolution cannot be true. They'll say we are leaning and look to an intelligent design theory. You Christians call him God, but we don't know what it is yet. But it's not evolution. I told that to a group of Germans this week. You've seen their mouths hit their bratwurst, you know? I mean, it was like, I'm telling you. What's happened? People will follow anything instead of read the Bible and be knowledgeable. We'll spend so much time, and I'm not knocking this exactly. We will spend hours reading our computer programs, and we'll spend 1 minute in the Bible and then wonder why we're led astray with every wind of doctrine that comes around. You guys, listen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but the people who were on the Titanic, most of them were sleeping or partying when it hit that block of ice. And there was a warning that went out before it ever hit that ice, that there was ice in the area. A couple of ships reported, there's ice in the area, be careful. People were partying, people were sleeping. And history tells us that there were even attendants and pursers on the ship that when the ship hit and the thing began to sink, you know, by the way, you know, it took a long time to sink, you know that? Long enough for people to run back into their rooms and load their pockets down with gold and money and all the things they were taking to America. Did you know that? Gold blocks, gold bricks they were putting in their pockets and running back to their safes and their cabins and putting on their rings and all of their jewelry, and they jumped overboard. And because of the weight of all the gold, they went straight to the bottom of the Atlantic. And the whole thing could have been avoided. Yeah, of course it was a tragedy. But people were warned. I know this message is not going to have you come back to church. Do you understand that Jesus could come back this week? That's what I'm banking on. And Jesus says, we better watch out because these three things, and we're done. He says in verse 24, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Oh, man. Man, if Jesus was talking to us like this, don't you want to be one of these people? Oh, please. Okay, look, to those of you who don't hold this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no burden on you, no other burden. You got enough to defend and protect and put up with. But hold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. I cannot elaborate on this, but it is absolutely amazing what this means. We'll talk about it in future studies. Jesus warns that the doctrine that is being taught at the church at Thyatira of marrying Christianity to the power of Rome had a hope through Constantine to conquer the globe and make Christianity the world religion. Jesus says, oh, no, 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 no. The kingdom of God does not come and people say, lo, here, or behold, there. It's not through human effort. It's spirit. I'm telling you, don't believe the message Jesus is saying to them. Don't believe that message. It won't come through political conquering and creating of a utopia through a Roman Empire. The marriage between the church and the state, no. It's going to come through my means, Jesus is saying. So we must never look to another, and we must never love another, people. We must never love another because he says, I will indeed cast her into a sick bed. And those who commit spiritual fornication or spiritual adultery with her, and I will place her and put her into great tribulation. They will miss the rescue altogether because they never belonged to the body of Christ. And he distinguishes it so clearly. Because of her rejection, he says, they. He says, you hold fast, I'll come. They, on the other hand, will go into great tribulation. The great tribulation. These are such serious things. I leave you with this verse. God says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. There's no one else. There is no pastor. There is no evangelist. There's no favorite spiritual person that you have. There's no priest. There is no pope. There is no church or institution. There is nothing that can guarantee you access into the kingdom of God, but one only, and it is he whom God sent. And to do the works of God, Jesus said, these are the works of God. Believe on him whom God has sent.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just from the truth we've discovered in the Book of Revelation, we can see how God's love is woven throughout every verse. God has an amazing inheritance waiting for us through his Son Jesus Christ, and he wants you to know all about it. Salvation is only possible for those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure how to go about that, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that says Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll find the full meaning of what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. There's even a way for you to email us and tell us all about your decision to follow Christ. Again, that's the tab labeled Know God, and you'll find it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.